Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 17 lines from the top of Daf Nun Tes. You will notice we have an additional house marking, because you may have noticed there are previous house markings. We're continuing with our series of teachings that relate to the issue of oinoas dvorim, causing a fellow man pain through wrongful speech. The Gemara. Omar Rav Chanina Brei Dravidi. Mai dichtiv veloi sonu ish es amiso. That is the pasuk, and we've seen this pasuk quoted in our previous year. The pasuk referring to the prohibition of causing pain to fellow man. To whom is this pasuk really addressing itself? So Rav Chanina tells us, Am she'itcha b'toira uv'mitzvus al tonehu. The word amiso is pointed out by the Marsha is a somewhat unusual word. Instead of the more common word ochiv, your brother, choosing the word amiso enables the Rav Chanina to darshan it as referring to the people that are am, the nation, the people that are with you in Torah and mitzvahs. In other words, people that are Torah observant, proper individuals, those are the ones that the pasuk is warning against causing any ill feeling or oppression through words, which leaves room for inferring that people who are sinners, people that are scoffers, then this particular restriction, this particular prohibition would not apply to them. Omar Rav. We have another marking, a diamond, which is featured on the side. Shnei Memros Shel Rav. We have a comment of Rav here, and a few lines later, another comment of his. Omar Rav. Li'olam yehei odom zohir b'oinoas ishto. A person should be especially careful as to not cause one's wife pain. Shemitoch shidim osa mitzuya oinoasa kroiva. The Gemara indicates that there is a certain higher level of sensitivity that a woman has, that it's easy for her to come to cry, to shed tears, and therefore even a possible slight insult could bring her to a tearful situation. And as a result of that, now Rashi says, Rashi, you'll notice at the upper quarter of the Rashi commentary, that the Almighty will seek retribution from the husband that causes one's wife pain. The Gemara continues, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Miyom She Nechrav Beis Hamikdash, Nin Arlu Sharei Tfilah. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of prayer have become locked. Shenemar, Gam ki ezak vashavea sosam tfilosi. Pasuk in the Book of Lamentations and Echa says that even when I scream and beseech, my prayers are sealed. In other words, they're sealed from entering the heavenly chamber. However, v'avapi shesharei tefila ninalu, sharei demois lo ninalu. Even though the gates of prayer are locked, the gates of tears are not. Shinamar, the Pasuk says, Shimot filosi Hashem v'shavosi azino el dimosi al techarash. If you study the Pasuk carefully, it says that we pray that the Almighty should hear our tefillah. In other words, it's not certain that He's going to hear the tefillah, and He's not, and v'shavosi azino, listen to my crying, to my shouting. It's not clear that He listens to it. When it comes to the tears, it says, El dimasi al techrash. As far as regarding my tears, don't remain silent. Don't remain silent, but respond. What, however, do you see from this? You see that the Almighty recognizes, so to speak, He sees the tears. That's a step better than the tefillah and the shava that was just referred to in this pasuk. Where there, it wasn't certain that the Almighty would even notice it, so to speak. But when it comes to tears, He notices it, and the prayer here is, don't remain silent with regard to them. V'yomarav, kol ha'olech ba'atzas ishtoi noifel begehenim. He who follows the counsel of his wife is destined to fall into purgatory. Shneamar, the Pasuk speaks of Achav, the king Achav, who was referred to as a negative figure in Jewish history. And he was married to a woman by the name of Izebel. And the Pasuk says, Rak lo hoya ka Achav v'chulei, asher heisata oisoi Izebel ishto. Achav and his evilness, his wickedness, was a function of his wife's inciting him and convincing him to follow the wrongful path. So, as Rav said, one who follows the counsel of his wife can end up like Achav, who followed the counsel of his wife Izebel. Omar le Rav Popo l'Abai v'Amri Inchi. How can you say what you said when there's a common saying, Itza gutza gochin v'tilchoy shlo, that if your wife gutza is short, gochin, bend over, and tilchoy shlo, listen to her words. In other words, the opposite, you should hearken unto what she suggests. Lo kashya, there is no contradiction. You have two extremes, and it depends on the topic, the realm. Ha b'mili da'alma, v'ha b'mili da'besa. One is with respect to general matters, and the other is with respect to household matters. Rashi himself does not comment on, we'll say, which is which, but from the context and the citation of Achav and Izebel, one might reach the conclusion that when it comes to mili debesa, there one should listen. Mili debesa, household matters, how to run the house, what needs attention, etc. One should listen to his wife's counsel. When it comes to general matters outside of the house, then not. Lishna achrina. Now here we have a different version in terms of resolving the two extremes. Ha b'mili deshmaya, v'ha b'mili de'alma. When it comes to heavenly matters relating to Torah mitzvahs, then we say one thing. When it comes to general matters, more mundane earthly matters, mili d'alma, then the other applies. Omar Rav Chisda, kol hasha'orim ninolim chutz misharei oino. All the gates of tefillah are locked, with the exception of the gate through which one prays for salvation from oppression, from verbal oppression. So that if a person prays for heavenly intervention because he feels that he is being oppressed through Oinoas Dvorim, there the gate does not remain sealed. Shenemar, Hinei Hashem Nitzav Al Choymas Onoch Uviyodoy Onoch. In this pasuk, without involving ourselves with the literal translation, You see the word onoch. Onoch is similar to the word oino. And it says in the Pasuk that the Almighty is there. He's positioned on the wall of that's the Choymas Onoch. So that the teaching of Rav Chisda, that the gates of prayer relating to those that feel oppressed by Oinoas Forum are in fact open. Omar Rabalazar, Hakol Nifra Bidei Shaliach Chutz Me'ono. When the Almighty seeks retribution, He will do so. He will punish through agents, with the exception of those who are being punished because of their violating Oino. Shinemar, in the pasuk we just read, it said Uvayodoy Onoch, and in His hands, namely the Almighty's hands, is Onoch, the issue of Oino, and not in the hands of an agent. Omar Rabbi Avo, Shloisha in a Pargod Nino Bifneim. There are three that the Pargod is an esoteric idea that has to do with, we'll call it the inner chamber. There are three that the inner chamber is not locked. We'll explain as we go along. Oino, the issue of Oino is basically that which we just discussed. The Gezel, Avodah Zorah. Gezel is theft, and Avodah Zorah, idolatry. The Rashi, Eino Ninal, says that the gate is not locked. Lahafsik Riyosam and Amokam, Elatomid Roya Oysam Ad Shifra. The Almighty notices these three offenses, Eino, Gezel, and Avodah Zorah. He notices them until the point that He actually punishes the offender. And now the Gemara explains or gives a source for each one. Oino Dichtiv Uvayodoy Onoch. We just explained that. We mentioned that before. And the fact that it says in His hand is Onoch. It's mashma that it's always by Him, and He's aware of it, constantly aware of those who cause others oppression through words. Gezel dechtiv chomos v'shoy yishama bo al ponai tamid. In this pasuk, there's reference to chomos and shod, different forms of theft, and they are al ponai tamid. I am aware of them; they're in front of me all the time. There's no fence or wall separating those offenses and my awareness. Avodah zorah dechtiv, idolatry. It says Ha'om Hamachisim Oisi Al Ponai Tomid. Again, the expression Al Ponai Tomid, indicating that the nation that causes me to become irate, and in the context, it is to be understood as a reference to idolatry. As we go on, we notice another marking, a double underline, one of our series markings, and on the side of the Gemara we have under the Mivneh, the structural note, Li'olam Yehe Odom Zohir. The Gemara exhorts people to be careful and diligent with regard to different issues. Number one, B'tvua B'sof Beisa. There should always be literally grains in his house. There should always be food. There should always be a minimum amount of means of subsistence, money, cash. Tvua is representative of that which is that which sustains an individual, so that person should be careful that he always has a minimum amount of sustenance available. And the second topic that will be dealt with is Bechvod Isha. A person should be very careful with regard to honoring his wife. Ni Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Li'olam Yehi Odom Zoyer B'Tvua B'Sof Beiso. As we said, a person should be careful that there should always be a food supply in his house. We say food supply, it is not necessarily limited to cans of string beans, but it has to do with a basic amount of sustenance. She'ein meriva metziyah b'sof beiso shel adam. Strife does not afflict one's house, ela al iskei tvua, except for matters of of grains or matters of minimum income. When there's no income, when there's no basic sustenance, that's when strife will build up in one's house. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Hasam gvulech shaloim chelev chitim yasbiech." The pasuk describes that one's borders are of peace when there is wheat in your possession for creating satiety. Omar Rav Papa, Hainu the Amrinchi. Based on this, there's a common saying, "Kemishlam sari mikado nokish velsi tigra bevesa." When the sari, when the barley is finished from the jug, the container which stores the barley, so then when that becomes empty, so there comes knocking at the door strife in one's house. That's a common saying which bears out the teaching of Rav Yehuda. Omar Rav Chinana bar Papa, Li'olam yehi odom zor betvua besoch beso. You notice we have this marked as beis. We have these two comments under Roman numeral number 1, Aleph and Beis, dealing with the same issue of being careful that there's always tevua within one's house. Why? Shelo nikru Yisrael dalim elo al iske tevua. The Jewish people were referred to by the term dalim, the impoverished ones, only as a result of lack of grains. Shenemar, v'hoyo imzera Yisrael v'chulei. There's a series of psukim that are cited here in Sefer Shoftim, and we've noted the location psukim each pasuk, but they're cited just in partial form here. So it mentions the nation of Israel, and Vayachnu aleim. There was a war scenario. Uksiv vayidal Yisrael ma'oid mipnei Midyan. They were being besieged by Midyan, and when you look in the context of the psukim, and Rashi points that out, it says vayidal Yisrael. Rashi says li'el minei ksiv. Before this in the scriptures, it says vayachnu aleim vayashchisu es yivul haaretz. The Midianites were laying siege upon them, and they destroyed the harvest of the nation, so that the Jewish crops were destroyed, and that's a reflection on the lack of tevua besoch beso, and the pasuk refers to them vayidal. They became impoverished. Omer of Chelbo li'olam ye adam zohir bechvoid ishto. Person should always be careful to respect, to show regard and honor to his wife. Shein brocha mitzuya besoch beso shalodom ela bishvil ishto. Brocha, literally blessing, but brocha has to do with the idea of plenty. A person will not find bounty and plentifulness in his house except for the merit of his wife. Shenemar ula Avram etiv ba'avura. Pasuk describes Avram being enriched because of her, because of Sarah. V'hainu di omelu Rava livnei Mechuzah. In this spirit, Rava spoke to his townsfolk, the people of Mechuzah. Okiru l'nishaychu ki hechi detis asru. Show honor to your wives so that you can become enriched. On the side of the Gemara under our Nosar topic heading, we indicate Ad Sofa Midbeis. In other words, we have one long topic, and essentially involves a story, a very famous Talmudic incident that's known by the name Maisa Detanit Shelachnoi, the incident involving the oven, the tanner, that's called the tanner of Achnoi. Gemara itself will explain what we are referring to. But in the course of this story, there was a major confrontation between the individual Rav, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, and the Chachomim, the sages. It's a single opinion, called a minority opinion, versus a majority opinion. And in the course of their debate, a number of supernatural occurrences take place in an attempt on Rabbi Eliezer's part to justify his position in their argument. And after all is said and done, the Chachamim remain in their position, as will be explained in the Gemara. If you're asking, what does this have to do with Oinoas Dvorim, the relevance of that, I think, will become clear as we go through the story. Tanan Hossam, the Tanaic source, says, it should be pointed out, you can see on the side of the Gemara that one of the citations is from Maseches Kelim, the section of Mishnayos in Seder Taras that deals with matters of defilement of vessels. The source refers specifically to a vessel known as a tanur, an oven. An oven in the time of the Mishnah, the Gemara, was a essentially a cylindrical vessel. It could have might also have been conical shaped, inverted cone shaped vessel that would have coals, hot coals, placed at the bottom of it, and on the sides within the walls of the tanner, people would put dough, would stick dough to the inside walls of the tanner, and it would bake. Now, the tanur very often was made of clay, earthenware, I should say clayware, cheres, and it had, there are many rules, many different rules of defilement that have relevance to a clay cheres. In this discussion, we're describing a very specific situation where a tanur, as we described it, was cut into discs, so that if you had something that was, I'll just simply say, cylindrical shape, and you sliced it in many locations, the result would be discs. In the story featured in our Gemara, the discs were set one upon the other, and between each disc there was a dirt or sand placed, so that you had a tanur that essentially was in an alternating fashion disc, and upon that a layer of hole of dirt placed around the rim of the disc. And upon that, another disc, and again another layer of dirt, so on and so forth. Now, that's what the Gemara describes. Chotchu chulyos, the tanur was cut into discs. V'nosam chul bein chulya l'chulya, between each chulya, between each disc, was placed chul, was placed dirt. It's also important to emphasize that clayware is mekabel tumo, is subject to defilement. Earthenware, mud-based vessels, does not mekabel tuma, is not subject to defilement. Now here we have a hybrid vessel. Rebbe Elazar mitayer, v'chachomim mitamin. Rebbe Elazar declares this kind of vessel, resistant to defilement. This is not, in his opinion, viewed as clay, whereas a kli cheres. The Chachomim disagree. They emphasize the discs, which are kli cheres, are clayware. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. V'zehu tanur shel achnoi. What we just described is known as the tanur shel achnoi. My achnoi, what do you mean by that term? Now, even before we go on, we should just note that the word achnoi is a snake. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Shekifu Dvorim ke achnoi zu v'timuhu. They presented in a... They surrounded Rebbe Elazar, so to speak, with arguments. demonstrating their position that it is subject to Kabbalah's Tuma. It is subject to defilement. And the description of surrounding him with arguments is illustrated by a snake that often forms a coil, to the point that the tail of the snake is sometimes held within its mouth. And Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel tells us that concerning an actual incident involving this tanur, there was an actual incident, and they concluded that it is subject to defilement, and in the event that you had a tanur that was structured like this and became and had contact with the source of defilement, it would be defiled, and that food baked in it, food that had contact with it, would itself become defiled. Tana. Ba'oisa hayom heishiv Rabbi Lezer kol tshuvos sheba'olam v'lo kiblu heimenu. Ba'oisa hayom is a reference to that day. There was an incident, as we indicated before, and he offered many responses to what the Chachomim had said, and they did not accept what he was arguing. And now the story goes on to describe some supernatural events. Omar Lahem, im halacha kamoisi, said to the rabbis, if the halacha is like me, choruv ze yochil. Choruv is a type of tree. Some will translate it as a carob tree. It's found in Maseches Tainis as a tree that only after 70 years since its planting will it bear fruit. So he says that if the halacha is like me, then let the choruv prove it. And what happened? Ne'ekar choruv mimkom me'amo. There was a choruv there, and it became uprooted and flew to a distance of 100 amo. V'amri lo arba me'as amo. Another version is 400 amo. What is the symbolism that the Gemara is trying to convey over here? You can get an answer to that by looking into the Marsha commentary. In our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, we're not going to get into that, though we highly recommend to appreciate the depth of what is taking place and not to leave it simply as some type of fairy tale, simplistic looking story, as could be the case if you simply translate the Gemara. So as to avoid that situation, look into the commentaries. And we're recommending, amongst others, the Marsha commentary. We, though, are continuing here in the text. Omru lo, the rabbi said to Rebbe Lezer, Ein mevi en raya min achorv. You can't bring proof to your argument from the chorov tree, from the supernatural, and what happened. Chozar v'omar lehem. He then went back to them, said again, Im aloch kamosi amas amayim yochichu. If aloch is like me, then let this stream of water prove it. The natural way or tendency of a stream of water is that the water flows downstream. He said, let it prove like me. Chozaru amas amayim lachorim. And the water started to flow backwards. It started to flow upstream. So you have another supernatural event showing, proving Rebbe Lezer to be correct. Omru lo, they said, Ein mevi'in raya me'amas amayim. You can't bring proof from the stream. Chozar v'yomer lehem, im alochu kamosi, kisle beis medrash yichyach. Let the walls of the beis medrash, the center of Torah study, let the walls of this Torah center prove my position. And what happened? Hitu kisle beis medrash lipo. The walls started to bend inwards to fall. Goar bohem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, a contemporary of Rabbi Lezer, he became angered, expressed his anger at the walls. Omar lehem, in Tamidi Chachomim menatzchim zeh zeh behalocha, if Tamidi Chachomim are arguing with one another in halocha, atem matifchem, what business do you have to get involved? So the walls, that was his reaction to the walls. And what happened? Lo naflu mipnei kavod Rabbi Yeshua. And in fact, the walls did not fall out of honor to what Rabbi Yeshua. However, v'lo zafu mipnei kavod Rabbi Elazar, the walls did not straighten out either out of respect to Rabbi Elazar. V'adayin matin v'yondimen, they remain in their tilted, bent position. Chozar v'yomalem imalocha kamoisi. Min hashamayim yochichu. If the law is like me, then let it be proven from heaven. Yotza basko v'yomra, a heavenly voice came forth and announced, Ma lochem etzel Rabbi Elazar, shalochu kamoise b'chol mokoim. How can you argue against Rabbi Elazar when the law follows his position at all times? Omar Rabbi Yeshua, raglo v'yomar. Rabbi Yeshua arose and said, Lo bashamayim hi, quoting, of course, a pasuk from the Torah, that once the Torah was given, it is no longer the purview of heaven. You can notice we have a bracketed section, and the brackets here are not for skipping purposes, but rather to illustrate the section of the Gemara that deals with the more interruption that deals with this. That having been said, let us now go through the bracketed section. My lo bashamayim hi. What is intended by that posit, which says that the Torah is not in the heavens? Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu, shekvar nitno Torah mehar Sinai. The Torah has been given to us from the time of Mount Sinai. Ein onu mashgichim bevaskoil. We don't hearken, heed the heavenly voice, certainly when it comes to matters of deciding halacha. Shekvar kosafto bahar Sinai batorah, you already wrote in your Torah that was given at Mount Sinai, achrei rabim lahatos, that when it comes to halachic decisions, we follow the majority opinion. Ashkechei Reb Nosson le'Elio. Rabbi Nosson encountered Elio Anovi. Omale, my Ovid Kutshubrichu Bahi Shaita. What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing at that time during this confrontation between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? Omale, Kochayech, he smiles, he laughs, and out of joy, Vyomar, and the Almighty declares, Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai. Figuratively speaking, though there was a baskol, a heavenly voice that said that the halacha follows Rabbi Elazar, but it's true in my Torah I already said achri rabim lahatos, and hence they, by relying on that, defeated me, so to speak, though I ruled like Rebbe Elazar, and that's what the heavenly voice reflected. Nevertheless, when it comes to actual halacha, that is not a deciding factor. And the Almighty Himself expressed joy and happiness to their allegiance to the Torah. Omru, Oisoi Hayoim, it was said that on that day, the reference to Oso Hayom. Rashi deals with this, we'll see this in a moment. It says, on that day, Heviu kol taros shetir Rabbi Elazar v'sorfum ba'esh. They brought all the food that was declared tohor by Rabbi Elazar, who said that tanur that was made of the disks and earth is not subject to defilement. And all food that was prepared in there after it had some contact with the source of Tumah, the food remains undefiled. The rabbis, disagreed and gathered all the food that he had declared Tohar, and they burnt it. Rashi on the top says, Kol taros shetir Rabbi Elazar al yedei maisa shira, as a result of an actual incident that arose, nishalo chazu beveis hamedrash, shenoflo Tumah, there was a source of defilement that was in the airspace of such a tanur. V'chazru v'yasok al gabov taros v'tiam Reb Elazar v'evium v'sorfum lefonav. That tanur, after it had encountered a source of tumah that was descended into its airspace, Reb Elazar was of the opinion that it remains undefiled because of his emphasis on the earth aspect of it, and food prepared therein he ruled remains tahar. The Chachamim disagreed, as we said, gathered that food and burnt it in his presence. Now we continue in the Gemara. V'nimnu alav ubirchuhu. They took a vote and they censured Rabbi Eliezer. Birchu is an interesting word. It literally means, and they blessed him, but it could be maybe more accurately taken in a euphemistic fashion, and they put him into excommunication. The commentaries explain what's the basis after all. There's one's entitled to argue, to disagree, and to hone your opinion, etc. But apparently he did so in an overly forceful fashion. As a singular opinion, arguing against the majority opinion, he went a little too far. And that was the basis, the grounds for the nidui, for the excommunication. The Gemara continues, V'omru, and amongst themselves the rabbis said, Mi yelech v'yodio, who will go and inform him of their ruling, their vote to censure him? Omar lohem Rabbi Kiva, ani yelech. Rabbi Kiva, who was amongst the greatest of the sages of the time, said, I will go. Shemo yelech odom sheno hogun, lest someone who is not fit go and inform v'yodio, and could lead to the destruction of the entire world. If he is informed in a disrespectful fashion, and that could lead to his being irritated, and we mentioned before how Share Oino are not Ninal, and that could be devastating for the entire world. Ma osa Rabbi Kiva, what did he do? Lova shchurim, v'nesatev shchurim. He cloaked himself in black clothing. Donned black clothing and nesatev and cloaked himself in black. V'yoshev lufonav v'richuk arba amasin, sat at in Reb Elazar's presence, but maintaining a distance of 4 amos. This behavior is symbolic of someone that has been put into excommunication. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, seeing Rabbi Kiva there, says, Akiva ma yomi yomayim, what's different about today than other days? Omar lo, so Rabbi Kiva responded, Rabbi, kemidumeli shechaverim b'deilim imcha, it appears to me that the colleagues are bedelim, separating themselves, distancing themselves from you. That is a very sensitive way of saying that they decided for you to be excommunicated. Afhu kora begona v'cholatz menola v'nishma v'yoshev agabi kaka. He too, Rabbi Eliezer himself, as an expression, a reaction to this, tore his clothing, which is, Rashi tells us, is the practice of someone being placed into excommunication. And he removed his shoes and sat on the ground. This type of behavior might remind some of you of the practices of someone, heaven forbid, in mourning. The Gemara in Moed Katan, in the third perek, has a rather long discussion where there are parallels drawn. Zolgu Einov Demos, and his eyes started to flow with tears. Rabbi Eliezer was quite grief-stricken with this experience. Loka Ha'olam, and the world was in fact afflicted. Shlish Bezesim, Shlish Bechitim, Shlish Besorim. a third in terms of their olives, a third in wheat, and a third in barley. Some say that even the dough that was in women's hands, tofach, went bad. Tona af godol hoya ba'isa hayom. There was great rage that day. Shebechomokim shenosim ba'ena of Rebbe Elazar and Nisraf, wherever Rebbe Elazar cast his gaze, it burnt up. V'yaf Rabban Gamliel. Now, reference Rabban Gamliel is that he was the leader of the time, and he essentially was the one that is responsible for Rebbe Elazar's excommunication. So, Af Rabban Gamliel oya bov esfina, and on that day, Rebbe Elazar was on a boat. Omad olov nachshel letovo, and a wave came to capsize him, to sink him. Omar kemedumali shein teila b'shvir Rebbe Elazar ben Hukanis. Rebbe Gamliel made the association with his life-threatening situation and the excommunicating of Rebbe Elazar ben Hurkanus. Omar al raglav yomar. So Rebbe Gamliel arose and said, Ribbono Shelom, Almighty God, Galui v'yodua lefanecha, it's exposed and known to you, Shalolich v'odios, you see, my ruling of excommunication was not for my own honor, v'lolich v'odbeis abos, you see, nor for the honor of my father's house. The position of Nosi was a position that, in a certain manner of speaking, was an extension of the monarchy. And so he's saying that my decision was not a function of preserving my own personal honor nor that of my household. Elo lechvoidcha, it was to preserve your honor. Shelo yarbu machloikes b'Yisrael, so that there shouldn't be an increase of controversy and discord in Israel. Rashi adds here, shelo yargil hayochid lachlok alam Reuben, that the individual should not accustom himself to arguing against the decision of the majority. And with that prayer, Noch Hayom Izafo, the sea subsided. Literally, it became relieved from its wrath. Imo Shalom, that's a woman's name, Devisu de Rebbe Eliezer, she was the wife of Rebbe Eliezer, Achdei de Rabban Gamliel Havoyen, and she was no less the sister of Rabban Gamliel, so that the incident we just saw before involving Rabban Gamliel and Rebbe Elazar, it really is an incident involving brothers-in-law. Once again, Rebbe Eliezer married Rabban Gamliel's sister. Mayhu Maisav Eilich, from that incident onwards, Lo Hava Koshavka Lei Rebbe Eliezer Lemeipal Al Ape. She would not allow her husband, Rebbe Elazar, to, the expression lemeipal ape literally means to fall on his face. It's a form of supplication that we refer to as tachanun, in the common practice after the Shmona Esrei prayer is recited. There is a follow-up prayer that we call also nefilas apayim. And that prayer is great potential strength. And she was very worried, that means Rebbe Elazar's wife was very worried that he would recite that prayer or beseech in that form of Nefilas Apayim, and lead to the death of her brother, Rebbe Gamliel. Hahu Yoma Reish Yarcha Have, there was a day, and it was Rosh Chodesh. The Ichluf Lo Be Mole L'Choser. She got confused. She thought that particular day was Rosh Chodesh, and in fact, it was not. She confused the month with, instead of being Mole, it was Choser. If we take a look at the Rashi, Be Mole L'Choser, Svura Hoysa She Achodesh Choser. She thought that the month was going to be a chaser, means a 29 day month. Ukvua b'yom shloishim v'lo yipol b'yom hachodesh al ponav, or b'yom hachodesh al ponav. That if it's a 29 day month, then the next day, day 30, would really be the first day of the new month. And on Rosh Chodesh, we do not recite that prayer, the Nefilas Sapayim prayer. And V'hoya Mole, but it turned out that it wasn't a 29 day month, it was a 30 day month. V'lo Nikva Ad Yom Shloshim V'yachot, and that Rosh Chodesh would be declared only the next day, day 31. V'lo Nizara Bo B'yom Lamed, and she wasn't mindful of him on day 30, thinking that day 30 was going to be declared as really day 1 of the new month. And that day 30, in fact, was not declared as day 1. It was really the 30th day of a full month. V'nofal aponav, and he said the Tachnun Nefilas Sapayim prayer. Just point out that the explanation that Rashi gives is challenged by the Marsha, where he has a different explanation. But for our purposes, the wife of Rebbe Lezer, Yima Shalom, slipped up on this, and her husband, Rebbe Lezer, prayed the Nefilas Sapayim prayer. And Iko Adyamri, another version is Osa Anyo V'Koya Boha Apiko Le'Rifta, that a poor man came knocking on the door, and she presented to the poor man a rifta, a loaf of bread, and at that point that she was involved with the mitzvah of feeding the poor, Ashkachte D'Nofel Abi, she found her husband doing the Nefilas Sapayim prayer, Omra Lay, and she said to him, Kum Katlis Lachi, you can get up now, you killed my brother. Adahachi Nofak Shipura Mibes Ramul Neil, and in the meantime, Shipura literally is a shofar. It's a form of announcing. An announcement came forth from the house of Rabbi Gamliel to Shochev that he died. Omar lo menol yadis. So Rabbi Lezer says to his wife, how did you know? Omro le, kach mikublani mibes aviabo. I know. I have a tradition from my predecessors. Now, she was a descendant from the Davidic dynasty. She was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, who we pointed out was a Nossi. And the Nossi, we said before, was an extension of the Davidic dynasty. So she says, I have a tradition going back to Dovid HaMelech that Kol HaShorim Ninolim Chutz Mishare Oino, that all the gates are closed up, are sealed, except for the gates of Oino, those that feel oppressed because of wrongful words said to them. When they beseech Shamayim, they will be answered. And hence you see the connection between this entire incident and the topic of Oinoas Dvorim. Tonu Rabbonon. Hama'ana Esager Oiver B'Shloish Elavim. We have a source that you'll see later in the Gemara. Some information here is changed, but in the meantime, one who subjects a convert to Oinoas Dvorim, to oppression and pain through wrongful speech, so the offender is in violation of three negative commands. V'alochatzoi oiver b'shnayim. Lochatzo is one who applies pressure to him. My understanding of pressure has to do with, amongst other things, would include financial matters, pressing him for payment that's due. And we speak of pressure that has to do with trying to seek payment from someone who you know doesn't have the means of paying it, and you pressure him anyway. The Gemara asks, as far as this accounting, that ma'aneh results in three negative commands. Lochatzo is a violation of two negative commands. The Gemara asks, my shno ma'aneh, what's different about ma'aneh, where in fact you see three negative commands, and they are v'ger lo sonu, lo soneh, V'chiyogur itchem ger ba'atzchem lo sonu oso. V'loi sonu ish es amiso. This third pasuk says that man should not afflict his fellow man with wrongful words. V'ger b'chlal amiso. And a convert is included in the concept of amiso, of your fellow man. So just like we can account for three negative commands when it comes to Oinoas Devorim, Loichatso Nami, pressuring him as well, Shloishik Sivi, there are three negative commands. It's as the Pasuk Psukim say, V'lo Silchatsenu, V'ger Lo Silchats, V'lo Siya Loi Kenoisha. That third Pasuk is, do not be upon him like a debt seeker, a one who pressures someone into payment. And when the Pasuk says, V'lo Siya Loi Kenoisha, V'ger Bechlahu, a ger is included in the warning against being upon the victim, the subject, as a noshe, as a pressurer. Ella, so rather we have to reevaluate our numbers. Ella echodze vechodze b'shlosha, whether it's oinoa or lochets, both each one represents a violation of three negative commands. When you violate Oinoas Dvarim or Lochets in the context of a convert. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer HaGolo Lomer, Rabbi Lezer HaGolo, who by the way was the star, if you will, the central figure in the story above. Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanus also is known as Rabbi Lezer HaGolo, the great Rabbi Lezer Omer, that Neima Yizuratura Balamid Vav Mekoymais. Why did the Torah warn in 36 places? V'amila, another version is B'mem Vav Mekomos, in 46 places, Beger. Why is the Torah so full of concern and commands with regard to the convert? Nei Shesuro Ra. Now, that expression is explained at greater length. As you can see, there's a note on the side to look in Maseches Horius. One explanation is that since he is a convert, he has a certain high level of sensitivity, and pressuring him and causing him pain could lead him to going back to his idolatrous past. And that, of course, we have to avoid it at all costs. So the Torah is full of warnings against dealing wrongfully with a convert. My dichtiv v'ger lo yisene v'lo sechatsenu ki gerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. That's a posuk, and Tanya Rabbi Nosson Omer mum sheboch al toimar lechavroch. Rashi says on this mum sheboch al toimar lechavroch kevon the gerim hayisem. You yourselves, the Jewish people, were in effect gerim. They in Eretz Mitzrayim, they were considered pre-conversion, and at Mount Sinai there was a mass conversion, so to speak. And since you yourselves were gerim, genaihu lochem laskir shem gerus. It's to your own disadvantage. It would be your own personal insult to make reference to someone as a ger, as a convert, in a negative sense. And based on this, Rabbi Lozer says that blemish that is within you, don't make mention of it to someone else. V'hainu di amri inshi. And from this there comes forth a common saying, the zokifle zekifa b'dukse lo neim ole lechavre zokif binisa. If you encounter a person in whose family, dukse means in his family, someone was hung, someone was put on the gallows, that's the zokifle zekifa, someone was hung up. Tlia. I use the example of gallows. I think that's sufficient just for illustration purposes. even though in traditional Jewish law we don't have such a thing as a gallows, but in a family that someone was suspended, was hung up, don't say Zekifa Benisa, please hang up this fish. Sometimes people would suspend fish for drying, for curing purposes, smoking purposes. You should be capable of exceptional sensitivity, to the extent that if in such a household there was a member of the family was hung, don't use the word hanging, even if it's in a seemingly innocent context. But the mere reference to that word could arouse emotions, negative emotions, on the part of the listener. And of course, we learned an entire sukkah exhorting us to be careful and sensitive to the next person's feelings. This is, in my opinion, a sterling example of how far the Torah goes, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara goes in developing fine character. I'm not sure that in other places one will find such an expression of sensitivity. So let us hope and pray that we can all reach this level of sensitivity and cause only joy and happiness to our fellow men, and not the opposite. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.